Hey guys, this is Greg, and before we start the podcast, I want to give a quick shout out to our very first sponsor, CSS, Centralized Showing Service. Everybody knows these guys. They've been around since 1996. CSS has a great solution to provide agents with a quick, courteous, and accurate way to schedule their showings. Kevin Hughes joined the company last year, and they're really getting things rolling. Recently, they announced a partnership with CoreLogic that will give agents a way to quickly access scheduling information. They can also book, cancel, and reschedule showings online, deliver and receive automated showing notifications via email or text messaging. They can edit listing information and collect and share feedback. This is all integrated via SSO with a Matrix. So a big thanks to them, and check them out at showings.com. Seriously, check them out. Also, if any of our listeners are interested in sponsoring the Industry Relations Podcast, please drop me a line at gregrobertson@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and now on with the show.
Hey, welcome everybody to another episode of Industry Relations. This is Rob Hahn, one of your co-hosts, and my other co-host, Greg Robertson, is on the line. Greg, how are you?
Hola, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. Still recovering from mid-year, because you know how that week goes.
I do. For sure, I do.
You know, I almost sometimes wonder if there could be a real estate event that had no content, just parties, right? Because that's a big part of going to these events.
Oh, yeah. No, we sponsored, I think, two of them at this event. So we are co-sponsors of the Realtor.com ListBit and then, of course, the RE Technology. I always love RE Technology's party because John Hidehouse and his band come there and hit the dance floor to those guys. I always got a rocking band going on. It's fun.
Indeed. I'm sorry I missed that party this time. I think I was, where was I? Realtor.com party maybe. But yeah, like they need to space out the parties better. It seems like all the
those
parties
two on one night is not cool. Yeah, but who knows?
What are you going to do? There needs to be like a party coalition. You just coordinate. Hey, which night are you guys doing?
No, I went to the MRED, had this rooftop party, which was great.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Their turnout they do is great. And I was supposed to go to the FBS's thing right after that. I saw Mosey there and I haven't seen John in forever. And, you know, he looked great. He looks younger.
He's gone through a
lot of health issues. Looks like he's on his way back. And I just got so caught up in talking to him. I looked at the time and I'm like, oh my God, I get the hell out of here. I got, you know, dinners too also. So it was, things are just kind of compressed on each other.
Yeah, indeed. And then I saw John a couple months back in Minnesota. And yeah, he does look great and it's good to see him back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I guess we pretty much have one topic we have to talk about because it was the talk of the show. Let me open it with you because I don't think I was at the CMLS event where this was sort of announced, but I believe you were, right?
No, you know, I wasn't, but I did have a chance to kind of speak to Mike Werzer, who was there.
Right.
And a lot of other people. So here's from what I understood went down. It was really kind of three things.
Right.
Number one, Alex was there with Dan Elsa. CMLS has a thing every year at mid-year called Brings It to the Table, which they have a lot of CMLS people come out to there and they go over a variety of topics. Usually kind of a hit and miss. This was definitely a hit. I've heard that they've very, very much improved the event. So kudos for Danae and those guys for that.
Absolutely.
But they had kind of a last minute addition. I'm not sure how last minute, but they had it where Upstream RE was going to make an announcement and they scheduled over the lunch hour, right? And basically it was Alex and Dan Elsa, Alex, you know, Lang being the CEO of Upstream RE. And the announcement was that they were going to pivot. They had listened to a lot of the feedback from their MLS advisory group and that, you know what, they've decided that they were going to allow multiple ways of entering data and one of them being through the MLS.
Right.
So, which was, you know, to me just shocking because when your name is Upstream, when your whole premise of your company you've put into the name is also, is that that's just off the table now. That's more than a pivot, right? The second thing that went down was, I guess there was some discussion of, okay, you know, why this pivot? Why, you know, what's the dealio with this? Why do you want to make something so dramatic as this? And Alex kind of made some references. Well, they weren't getting a lot of cooperation with a lot of the MLS providers and most vendors.
Right.
And this is where I was talking to Mike Werzer, CEO of FBS, their Flex MLS system. And he told me he was wearing one of those watches that track your heart rate.
Right.
And it started going up. He's like,
right. So I heard about this exchange. Yeah.
Yeah. So he basically said to those guys, that's bullshit.
Right.
Here's my interaction with you guys on this project. which then I heard Alex kind of backtracked on that, said it was some vendors. And at that point, they threw CoreLogic under the bus. They mentioned some metrics that only could be one MLS vendor, right?
Right.
And, you know, I think Michael also called bullshit on that. He's saying, well, this can't be just a blame game. You're supposed to be the leader in this, you know, Upstream is, and you got to foster cooperation, and it ain't going to happen by pointing a lot of fingers, right?
Right.
And just jumping ahead, I'm wondering how, with all this blame gaming going on, if they're trying to do even go further with this, how they're going to do that after they've just basically trashed everybody. Then the third thing was, is Tim Dane got up and asked about a rumor that he'd heard that the beta or the live demos, as they were calling them, that they were giving about Upstream working with the RMLS system in Portland were indeed live. Because he had heard that they sent a team of developers up to Portland for, I don't know if it was days or weeks or whatever, to kind of make it work, right? This
right.
demo, right?
Right, right?
And when he asked this question to Alex, Alex just basically handed over the microphone to Kurt, who is the CEO of RMLS in Portland, right?
Right.
Which makes a little bit sense because Alex is not the vendor, right? Upstream RE is the organization kind of putting this together. Which I think Kurt like basically confirmed everything that
Tim was saying,
right? But, you know, I have less of a problem with that. I mean, software demos, I guess later on they started calling them proof of concepts, which is great for them. But
sure.
I own a software company. I know how these things go. I mean, you kind of use these terms like live, and I probably never use beta unless it was, you know, there were people up and running using it on a system. But there's always famous stories on Apple of how their demos weren't really live or something, right? So I have less of a problem with that. But I mean, the optics weren't great, especially when you had a 1-2-3 punch like that. So that's kind of the gist of what I heard about what happened at the CMLS event.
Right. Of the three, like, I feel like the little fight between Mike and, you know, Alex and all that, it's like, I guess, you know, it's interesting. We'll see how it plays out in the long run, but that's not that interesting, right? The RMLS thing, I've heard that too, that the demo was essentially hard-coded, that essentially the APIs didn't really work. But again, to your point, that's software business, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So obviously what leaves is, you know, what you call shocking, what has now come to be known as the pivot. What do you think about it? I mean, you said it was really shocking. Why are you so shocked?
Well, again, if I was going to name my business Greg's Taco Stand,
right,
and I was going to tell you I'm going to have the best tacos on the planet, and then I says, you know what? We're not just going to have tacos. We're going to be steaks now or something else. I mean, at the very least, I got to change my business. The premise of that whole thing was their whole argument was based upon being upstream of the flow, right?
Right.
When that comes off the table, it's no longer what they said it was.
See, I don't know. Like, I guess I think I find it shocking, but not shocking, because I've always wondered why they were doing upstream in the first place. And this now, I feel like, makes it clear.
Please make it clear to me as well.
And it makes it clear for me, and I could be dead wrong, and I'm sure we're going to have corrections sent our way fairly soon. But from the very, very beginning, I wondered, why are the brokers doing this? And the stories that we had heard was that there was all this data management problems.
Right.
That, you know, really could only be solved by single point of entry. All sorts of data management tools, right? That the MLSs, because there are 750 of them, you know, on different vendor systems, you know, that they just could not do. The concept behind that, I totally support it, because the situation isn't good, right? I mean, it just isn't. This seems like a lot of money, a lot of energy, a lot of time to spend, a lot of controversy just to have data management solutions. Think about the brokers that are involved, right? And these are the most powerful entities in the business. You know, if they went to an MLS and essentially demanded that the MLS provide some sort of single point of entry type solution, I feel like the MLS would have complied. And at this point, since Upstream was announced, between Trestle and Bridge and Retsly and everything else that's out there, and then I can't remember what they changed their name to, but MTP, remember the
Rebecca
Jensen, MRED, and Northstar, and all those guys?
Yeah, the grid.
The MLS yeah. grid. So it's like there are solutions for doing similar things out there now. I guess I feel like from the very start, Upstream may have been a planned syndication. From the very, very beginning, while we heard that their motivation was all this overlapping market disorder and single point of entry and data management and so on, you know, maybe the real goal here, maybe the real focus was just controlling syndication again. And if that's the case, I guess I feel like super disappointed.
Yeah.
Hasn't that horse left the barn? The barn burned down. And
please don't let this be a podcast about syndication.
It won't be. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I look at it this way. Okay, so now Upstream is going to take data from the MLS and then handle the data distribution. I'm going, isn't that ListHub?
Yeah, but they already have that. I mean, I know FBS, for instance, in their MLS platform, they already have a listing location manager. So, right. I mean, some MLSs do the same thing.
Right.
They already have the ability to tell the MLS, don't send this to Zillow.
Right.
All this stuff is kind of already there. So, again, I don't get that. And just to make a couple arguments of what you just said, it's not just a matter of the brokers going to the MLS to say, make me a single point of entry, right? There's another entity that's involved here. That's the MLS vendor. There's Rapitoni or there's Paragon, right? Maybe the MLS CEO says, yeah, sure, we'll do that. They go to their vendor. Okay, here's what they want. And the vendor goes, okay, well, you know, that's a complicated project, which it is. If you want to talk about the tech stack of an MLS system, the most difficult is listing input.
Sure.
Right. So they're picking the most difficult, right? Then the MLS vendor says, well, you know, you've already given me a list that's as long as my arm and other features you want implemented in the MLS. Where do I put it on that list? But say that the MLS, the brokers have a lot of play. Let's put it on the top of that list, right?
Right.
Well, it's a long project and it's going to, you know, take some time. Here's your quote. Oh, wait a second. You want to charge me for this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, am I working for free? Right. Have I signed to be some sort of indentured servant to the MLS?
Right.
And then, of course, Upstream RE is like, oh, they're charging? Are they, you know, this is supposed to be a service. They should be contributed to the industry and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's not as simple as requesting that. It's a long, involved, many parties involved process. And for anybody to think it's just like, you know, snap your fingers, it's going to happen, right, especially something this difficult. It's not that easy, Rob.
But here's the thing. I mean, I don't disagree. And, you know, I've had a conversation with Rebecca Jensen at T3 that makes me sort of understand one aspect of how difficult listing input is. At the same time, I guess what I'm saying is, if at the end of the day, what Upstream really was a way to control syndication, ListHub already existed. And not only that, but ListHub's value had plummeted ever since Zillow pulled out. As far as I know, like, we have spent, what, almost $200 million on Upstream? Between RPR and all that, like, why not just go buy up ListHub from Move? When News Corp acquired Move, I mean, they could have made a deal and said, okay, you know what, this is great, but hey, NAR is going to spend $40 million and just buy ListHub from you. Like, I feel like there would have been a way to do this much cheaper with much less headache and much less agony and angst if the goal of all this was just, hey, we need to control listing syndication, because at the end of the day, it's all about lead gen to the brokers.
It's a little different than that. It's a little bit different because ListHub was owned by their main competition. They could.
I'm saying you bought it from them, right? If NAR went to Move during the News Corp negotiation, if NAR said, "Great, we're going to sell. You know, yeah, we're going to okay all of this. We'll give you the we'll give the relationship, the agreement, the licensing, all of that. But we're going to buy ListHub from you." I mean, do you think News Corp would have said no?
Well, no. I mean, again, when they launched their own syndication, when they cut their ties with ListHub, they already had their own listing syndication dashboard built.
You mean, right? The MLSs?
No, Zillow did.
No, I'm not talking about Zillow. I'm talking about the brokers. I'm talking about the brokers who are involved in
Upstream. Oh, you're talking about Upstream buying
the listing. Yeah, or NAR.
Again, so just to go back a little bit from what you're saying, is that I don't believe that they started off this to be too much of a syndication thing, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the question.
If you take out the point that it's not going to be a single point of entry, right? It's not going to be Upstream, and therefore they can blend their data and they can do all this kind of stuff by having one single listing input. That's gone, right? They've bifurcated that. Now that's gone. What is left now is a listing syndication dashboard.
And what I'm saying, right? No, I get it. What I'm saying, though, is this really a pivot? Or is this a reveal?
Yeah, I cannot believe they would name their company Upstream unless it was some massive, like, Rob, you always get these. It's like this conspiracy theory. We're going to call it Upstream and they're going to bite it. They're going to bite that so hard. And then what we really are going to get is we're going to launch ListHub Dashboard 2. I mean, that's not the case here. That's not the case. That would be an insane amount of acting and cloud and smoke to kind of come to here.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, right?
You're amazing.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but think about this, right? From the very, very start of this thing, from the very start of Upstream, one of the complaints, and this is even before Alex got there, because if you remember, one of Alex's first posts as CEO was talk about how communication and transparency were lacking. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And Alex said, you know, we are now completely transparent, telling you everything there is to tell you, blah, blah, blah. And nobody believed them. And I don't know about you, but I know I've talked to MLS CEOs at various events, you know, over the years, who say the thing that pisses them off about Upstream is they feel like they're being lied to. Have you heard anything like that?
I've not heard specifically that they think they're being lied to. I've always heard that they've chosen the wrong approach, that they've always thought to do something with the MLS, leverage the MLS is the way to go, instead of trying to create this very complicated, difficult type of thing that they've embarked upon, right? But as far as lied to...
I've heard that, man. In other words, there are a lot of folks who feel like there's an agenda here. There's something
now,
missing.
Maybe I'll take a twist on that. I believe that most MLS execs believes NAR... Right. Has ulterior motives to what they're doing with RPR.
Oh, of course.
And you can, by an extension, you can say Upstream. But if you're going to say just, do they think like Alex was out there, you know, basically lying to them? I don't think so. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Oh, no. Okay. No, I haven't heard it like that. I'm not saying, you know, people are saying that Alex was lying to them. I have heard they're not telling the truth.
That to me is more exclusively, you know, that I've heard is mostly on the RPR or the AMP side, mm-hmm. not the Upstream side. And again, maybe I'm splitting hairs here, but I haven't heard that on the Upstream side.
All right. Well, either way, I guess that's a big question. You know, is this a pivot or is this a reveal? For myself, I mean, I guess I'm sort of inclined to think this is a reveal.
You are like, that's amazing.
No,
that's,
you know,
great.
There's
because that's great. No, it's good.
But here's why, right? So the brokers have made this their top priority. The brokers
have
of Upstream. You don't think so?
Well, we're $6 million into this, you know, with their chosen vendor.
The $6 million from NAR.
Right.
But think about how many meetings that those guys have had.
Just the resources they've spent is amazing, right?
I mean, I know they spent a little bit of cash, you know, setting this thing up. But when you think about the payroll that's been sitting around boardroom tables and emails and phone calls and meetings and so on and so forth, and we're talking about like CEOs of major brokerages, I have to think that this is a really high priority for them. Plus, you have the thing of, you know, a couple years back, there was a not so veiled threat from the Upstream folks saying, if you guys, and by you guys meaning MLSs or any vendors, do anything that we think is competitive with Upstream, we're going to have problems. So yeah, I think this is a real top priority item for the brokerage who are involved. And the question is why? Is listing, like multiple listing input, really costing them hundreds of millions of dollars?
It keeps evolving. You're right. The first thing was, it was multiple entry. And then it was like, well, if you really go back, it was more of the call was, there's too many MLSs and we need to get an easier way to get control of our data and where it goes. Because I think their first argument was really more that syndication play, where it was like, we don't want MLSs controlling where our listings are going to.
Right.
So we're going to be Upstream. It's like, okay, well, we can give you more tools to help you manage that. Well, it's not just about that. It's about multiple inputs.
Right.
And the third thing was, well, it's not just about having multiple ways to inputting data, but we also have our data. We want to blend that data.
Right, right.
And then the latest thing at Rezo was, well, it's about cyber terrorism. You know, I'm serious as a heart attack. I mean, go back to the agenda.
Right.
And that was definitely talked about as far as there's no one vendor that really can kind of muster the tech and have the wherewithal to make sure that our data is safe in this world, right?
Well, so
it's been an evolving kind
I know, of- but that's the thing, right? If you take that apart, as a matter of fact, there is a vendor. If cyber terrorism and data management and all this stuff was really their issue, there exists a vendor in our industry that could actually do all of those things. Unfortunately, the problem is that vendor is like the most hated entity in the industry.
I don't know about most hated.
In your opinion, who is hated more than Zillow?
In the industry?
Yeah. Maybe they are.
Besides you or me?
Yeah. But we're not big enough to nobody hates you, right? Yeah.
Right. I wish that was the case. I don't know if I'd say it was a single entity. I mean, there's a lot of frustration with their MLS. A lot of agents, though, you know, find value with Zillow. And
of course they do. But I'm talking about from the brokerage side, from associations, from MLSs. I mean, There's no doubt, right? And it's not hate necessarily. Maybe it's more fear because yeah, they're so big.
If you say fear, I would definitely agree with you. They are fearful of right. Zillow. I don't but know if, about hate.
But if the brokers really wanted data management solution and cyber terrorism and all that stuff, hey man, like they could have gone to Zillow and be like, you guys are a $1 billion company. You have all these engineers. Solve this problem for us. They could have. They didn't. And even today, they could. They don't. So when they think of it that way, it's like, okay, I just don't buy that the data management thing and their latest, I know I've heard this like as a speaking point, the fiduciary duty to protect consumer data.
Well, that's cyber terrorism. That's yeah. that. I mean, that's the same kind of, that's a yeah. little bit of a shard of that, right?
Yeah, I suppose. You know, like then that's been like their speaking talking point. And I guess I'm looking at it going, is this really costing you guys so much money that you need to go do what you did? And my take on it is it's not. What's costing them so much money, costing the brokerages so much money, is the fact that they have lost the ability to control lead gen, especially from online, which has become the most important source of leads. And they're trying to put that horse back in the barn. And I get it. Like, I understand why they want to do that. It's just, if that's really what you guys are after, there really are other ways that they could have gone about it. This wasn't it. Because along the way, they've really pissed off the MLS community, right? They've really scared the crap out of the MLSs with some interesting results that come out of that. And now, you know, after the pivot, we'll see what happens. Are the MLSs no longer afraid now? You know, they look at upstream, okay, well, you're just list up 2.0s and we know how to deal with that.
It's very interesting how it went down. And I was talking about this before with Michael and some others, where if you spin this around a little bit, I could definitely see how, since Craig Cheatham made that announcement, he got 10 days, of how the brokerage industry could have today have said, we won. I'm talking about the consolidation that's been happening in the industry, especially this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bright MLS to me really kind of lit the fuse on this. But I mean, and there was a latest announcement about Fort Lauderdale and Palm Beach is joining, right? That's a right. huge merger there. That's and right. then the rumors of talk of San Antonio and Austin and, you know, this grid thing and all the things that are going on. Literally, I can't name them all. There's so many going on.
Right.
One way of taking an angle on this would have been Alex could say, listen, we start out with this premise that was there was too many MLSs out there. And for various reasons, this was happening. And we started this initiative in this kind of atmosphere, in this space. And now that has completely changed. You guys have listened and we've won. We've started this fire and you guys are reacting to it in the way that we want to by kind of consolidation here. And therefore, we're going to pivot to this new kind of thing. But instead of looking at the positive, it became kind of this pointing game. And it's disintegrating beyond that. You know, I was just reading this weekend, Andrea did a good job at Inman as far as recapping. NAR bets on upstream with 9 million additional funding.
Right.
And this is creeping up to the top now, right? Where now Dale Stinton, the current CEO, is making an incredible rhetoric about the industry and that it can be used for a variety of purposes. I think he says, quote, there were those that were pretty unhappy with the upstream concept and the broker, the agent, the member having complete control of their listing. So that kind of bodes to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of competitors, frankly. There are a lot of vendors and some MLSs who don't like that. While I would never say that myself, others might refer to them as something of a cartel.
That's right. I saw that quote.
Right. Yeah. And he said that he could only say that once because of what NARG's GC had said, right? Yeah. It's like a little bit of pouring fuel on the fire here, right? When again, there could be so many positive things taken out of the past couple of years, especially since that CMLS conference where Craig Cheatham made that announcement. But now it's like they're double downing. There's some caveats attached to that, but they're even making some Gandhi quote in here. First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, and then they fight you, and then you win.
Right, right.
And they have dismissed ignored upstream as a crazy idea by uppity brokers. Man, this is not about, these are not words you say to foster cooperation.
No.
Right? This is just, you know, these are drawing the lines here. And in order for this to succeed, I cannot imagine why they would still want to build a listing input module. If they've already said MLS is one of the ways to do it, man, focus on that. And this thing, they're saying they're going to still go for it. It's just bizarro to me.
Think about this, right? In the same article, Dale Stinton, and I'm quoting him right now, this is what he says. People are afraid of change. There was also potentially economics changing hands, he said, referring to MLS taking revenue from listing syndication feeds. And then he says, when we put syndication back in the broker's hands, that sort of dishevels the whole thing. The distribution features were really what brokers want. That's what he said. And I have to ask, Dale, if that was the case, why didn't you just buy ListHub?
But I mean, again, to me, ListHub is really a technology. I don't think you had to buy that technology. You could build any technology.
But they've spent how much money on this damn thing?
I'm not sure, because ListHub is alive and well. Their revenue model is based upon selling reports to brokers. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're making off that product every year, but maybe it was too expensive to buy.
Like I said, if NAR, during the negotiation with News Corp about buying Move, because that deal can't happen without NAR giving its blessing. Otherwise, you can't use the Realtor.com brand. You can't.
You mean News Corp buying Move, right?
Okay. They paid $1 billion in cash for Move. If during that negotiation, NAR came to the table and said, yeah, we're willing to go along with this, but you're going to sell us ListHub for $20 million, $40 million bucks. They spent $1 billion. I mean, you know, they would have been like, all right, sure. We'll take your 40 mil. Right? What do we care? Because, you know, the data sources, that was a huge advantage and still is the huge advantage that Realtor.com has, that would not have been impacted by selling off ListHub. It's a tiny, tiny piece of the business. I think they would have done it in a heartbeat. And at that point now, NAR could have gone and said, well, we're just going to marry ListHub and RPR and here you go. Right? We could have had this particular feature up and running like 3 years ago. 2 years ago, or however long, right?
Yeah. I mean, but even that, again, like I said, a lot of the MLS systems already have a built-in
syndication. I know. Right? But what I'm saying is now you at least you don't have the problem, the RMLS problem. They would have had at least a distribution software platform that works, that's already working, it's in play. And a push comes to shove, you know, they could have always sold off a stake and given the broker some sort of equity stake in that, you know, through upstream or whatnot.
If a broker went to the MLS and they said, I want my listings to go to Zillow, they would not go to Zillow.
That's the case today. What's bizarre about this to me is that, have you ever seen the Zillow dashboard?
I've only seen like screenshots of it.
Yeah, I've only seen screenshots as well. But you know, I was at the MLS summit when they revealed it and they said like right on stage, if you don't want to send listings to us, don't. Here's the thing. Zillow is completely confident about this. Right, in my opinion, they don't care because they understand that the listing agent now has to send their listings. They understand that, right? Remember when Zillow made the power play recently about ending manual input?
Yeah.
And people got pissed. People are actually upset. Why? Because if you're a listing agent, you know you have to get the listing onto Zillow. You know you do. Zillow doesn't care. And at the same time, here we are. How many years since the syndication thing became like a real issue? We're probably talking a couple of decades. And we're still talking about getting syndication back in the broker's hands?
Two things about Zillow. So to me, on one angle, you could look at this whole pivot as a win for Zillow. Because they've always wanted things to stay the same, where everything's with the MLS.
Yep.
And this move definitely, number one, at least delays anything happening, right? But also, if the MLS is still involved, they feel they probably have a good place to play still, right? So that's number one. Number two, though, is that they've got to be a little bit cautiously optimistic because they are going to fund another $9 million. And there are some caveats to that. And the nightmare scenario for Zillow would be it's ListHub 2. Mm-hmm. They don't have any leverage with these guys because it's the brokers themselves directly. And now they're beholden upon that. But I think that's still very difficult for upstream RE to kind of make happen. And by allowing listing input into the MLS, it even weakens that. So I still think it's cautiously optimistic. Now, number three to me, though, that's more interesting is what happens to Bridge and Retzley? Because on one angle, they might have bought them just to kind of throw some smoke up in the air and say, hey, you know, you don't have to do this. You can do it this way. Right. There's options. Right. And that was enough to distract or add more things to the mountain of evidence, not to use that damn term, but more things to say, this is all bullshit here. There are different ways of doing this. Right. And that caused enough fodder that upstream had to kind of acquiesce and say, okay, we'll let the MLS be one of the ways you can input. So in that case for Zillow, again, I don't know, is that why they bought them? To help them make what happened happen, where the goal was to have the MLS be one of the entry or the entry into there? And if that's the case, what do they do with it next?
I don't know if like why they bought it, right? They might have done it for all kinds of technology reasons or Bridge, you know, had some broker contracts and But extrapolating from that, here's the bigger picture question, I guess, for me is, there's no doubt that Upstream drove the MLS into the arms of Zillow. Was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the Zillow MLS Summit? Like, I remember attending and listening to Scuttlebutt and cocktail party conversations and thinking, oh my God, how things have changed. Now, with this pivot or with the reveal or whatever you want to call it, has that changed? Do the MLSs no longer feel like they need to ally themselves with Zillow because the big bad wolf of NAR and the National MLS is now off the books?
Is it off the books if they just gave them another $9 million?
I don't know. That's my question, right? So the more interesting question for me is, do the MLSs now, do they still feel like they need Zillow in order to fight NAR? I mean, that's the question. Especially when Dale's out there talking about the MLSs are a cartel. It's like, wow.
Well, I think that answers your question. I think there's still this antagonistic relationship. Right. And then the other thing I heard at a conference, I forget which one it was, but it was beautiful. I think it was the Clarity MLS Executive Conference. And it's so true. Zillow treats MLSs better than NAR treats them.
Oh, no.
NAR does.
Right.
I mean, so it's like.
And the amazing thing, by the way, the most amazing thing about that quote is that this is the CEO of NAR, which is a cartel. Like,
yeah,
calling
a little irony there. Yeah.
The MLSs, which NAR controls through the MLS Policy Committee. I mean, that is why the DOJ sued NAR back in 2006, right? Because NAR MLS Policy Committee controlled the MLSs. I'm like, what the hell's going on? That's a little rich.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what. One of the more interesting things to watch would be when Upstream and RPR, you know, comes out with this newfangled way of doing things, a bilateral sync or whatever, a two-way sync and all of that, does NAR mandate that the MLS has to implement this through MLS policy? What does that fight look like?
Yeah, again, I mean, it's not just like writing a policy up. I mean, there's some huge technology hurdles to make that happen that are real,
well,
right? So you can put anything in a policy, but it doesn't mean anything.
It does mean something, because if NAR's MLS policy mandates, just like, remember the RISO API or the RISO data dictionary adoption was mandated?
Yeah, that's not even close to the technology hurdle that has to be accomplished here.
Well, I don't know, man. Like, if Upstream is now ListHub 2.0, what's the technology hurdle?
That's a different thing, yeah. Then I'm still caught up on this listing input.
Listing input. Yeah, I think they've sort of abandoned listing input.
Not if you read that. This is real, right? That's the quote. This is real. It's happening. We ain't giving up.
Right.
We don't give up on anything.
There's so many interesting little angles to this. And I know we're going to end up talking about it now for the next couple of years.
Let's just do this little exercise here.
Sure.
If you're Upstream RE, if you're Alex, what would you do?
If I'm Alex?
Yeah.
So I'm much better looking and much more fit than I am now?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. It's bizarre, man. I feel like if I'm Alex, one of the biggest hurdles, one of the biggest albatrosses he has all around his neck right now is RPR.
His vendor
that he doesn't control, because the vendor's big daddy is the organization that's funding the whole thing. So I feel like he's caught in between a rock and a hard place. Like,
But that's a traditional role that a CEO kind of faces, especially in a technology company. You've got to run your company.
Dude, that's my point. He doesn't run a technology company because all the technology is coming from a vendor that he does not control.
Well, I mean, but every technology company has vendors that they use to accomplish things.
Sure, right? But not the core technology, right?
Well, they're not. Yeah, I guess they don't even own it, really.
They don't. So that's the first problem. So, if you will, Upstream's not a technology company. It's more of a, I don't know what to call it. You know, is it a policy committee?
It's a cartel, I think.
If I'm Alex, the technology side is not the problem. MLSs all know how to send listing data, you know, whether it's through API or not, to somebody else. And I guess I go around the country and I convince brokers to demand that the MLS send their listings to Upstream. In effect, Upstream just becomes another destination. And every MLS in the country knows how to do that. So it's just not that big a deal. I suppose I spend a lot of time on the other side of it, which is the Upstream API. Because I think one of the thoughts was that once the brokers have directed the MLS to send listing data into Upstream, Upstream can now take that and put out an API that developers could use. And so you're a software developer. So instead of running Cloud CMA on top of whatever the MLS RETS feed, you could run it on top of the Upstream API as well. So now they're in direct competition with Retsly and MLS Grid and, you know, some of those other things. So I don't know. Maybe my first phone call is to Rebecca Jensen and talk about how MLS Grid maybe can be brought into this whole thing. I don't get the feeling that that's going to bear a lot of fruit, but you never know.
If I'm him, I would, and again, he was playing the blame game too, right? So
sure.
I would get out of the blame game. I would distance myself from Dale's message, right? Mm-hmm. And I would, again, maybe I'm Pollyanna and being too optimistic about this. Because on one level, when they made the announcement of 10 days, we keep saying this, to now, there's been a lot of improvement that the MLSs have done.
Right.
So let's first acknowledge that and say, hey, this is great. This is going on. But in the middle of that whole thing, I think Upstream and its model of being upstream of the data really drove a wedge between the MLS vendors and providers and mm-hmm. the brokers. Now, with this kind of removed in a sense, with being able to go into the MLS, to me, that's an opportunity for maybe these guys to get closer, for the MLSs and the brokers even to get closer, now that that kind of crazy town idea is not really forefront. I would try to use that to kind of, again, keep the momentum going of the MLSs changing, you know, getting consolidating all that, and me getting my message across. That's where I thought things were going. But then when Dale gets up in front of everything and really just, it's almost even a bigger wedge now, the right. name calling and the blaming. Right. It's like, that's kind of maybe blown up now, where I thought that this could actually help foster more collaboration and everything else. But it just seems to me like now the battle continues. For a second there, I thought there was going to be really a great place for things to kind of get better. If I'm Alex, it's like, stop blaming, distance yourself from that messaging, and really go out there and acknowledge with the MLSs there that there are problems to solve and try to work together on this and try to work together towards a solution of bringing the brokers and the MLSs closer together. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I thought this is going to be an opportunity. And of what happened Saturday, it just seems even more distant now.
Well, I mean, obviously, when I heard about it, I left before Saturday. So the repercussions of that, we'll see what that is. But at the same time, I mean, in a sense, everyone, we're all sort of lucky that that was Dale's last mid-year. But I mean, they're going to have a new CEO. And right. the new CEO of NAR could distance himself or clarify or whatever. Say, well, you know, Dale might have been a little bit overly enthusiastic. I don't think the MLS is a cartel. You know what I mean? Like the new CEO could do a lot to defuse whatever bomb was laid on Saturday.
He doesn't have to wait for that.
Or Alex? Yeah. So I'm saying for Alex, right? Here's the thing. If I'm Alex, I've changed my mind. There is one thing that I would do. I would stop getting on stage like today. Like going forward, Alex Upstream should be in nobody's news cycle. You want to make this as boring as possible, never appear anywhere, never talk, and then spend all his time selling this to brokers.
Right.
Because look, the MLS sending data to Upstream is a trivial thing. All MLSs already know how to do this. And Upstream really shouldn't care how the MLS sends his data into Upstream. The brokers have the absolute right to direct the MLS to send their own listings to Upstream or to Zillow or whoever else. So the play now for Alex has to be convince all the brokers to go to the MLS and click the box that says send my listings to Upstream. That's got to be his job number one.
But I mean, that's easy. They do that now.
I know.
So, I don't know what kind of convincing that's going to take. I mean, that's not a big get.
Well, the big get obviously is going to be going to the MLSs and having that be an opt out instead of an opt in. Because he's not going to go travel to Joe Bob's two-man brokerage in, you know, Tallahassee and convince them to click the box. Yes. Like that's the next big hurdle. But my point is, after this, Alex should just completely disappear from the public eye, not talk about Upstream at all, no more make big conferences, don't go on panels, don't do any of that stuff, and just focus like a laser on getting brokers to say, yes, send my data to Upstream. Now, I do have a question, and I don't know if you know the answer to this. As you know, one of my biggest issues with Upstream has always been this notion of a separate database, you know, source of truth, all of
right.
that. Right,
yeah.
Because my
thing
has always been the MLS needs to be that reference database. Okay, in this new world, post-pivot, is Upstream going to keep a copy of all that data? Is it a license? What are the terms under which this data gets sent to Upstream?
Well, they would argue it's their data. They don't need a license.
Well, it's the broker's data.
the broker's data, so they don't need a license.
Well, but they, I mean, you know, but think about it, right? When a broker directs an MLS to send data to Zillow, there's all sorts of terms attached to that. They don't just give Zillow copyright.
Right.
So what is it for upstream? That's going to be a question. And I don't think we know the answer yet because I don't think they signed a single deal.
Right.
But it'd be real interesting to talk to someone like Mitch Skinner in a few months because he handles a lot of the IP licensing stuff for, you know, a lot of MLSs. It'd be real interesting to talk to him to say, what is the upstream terms? Because the question is, what happens if an MLS somewhere down the line says, yeah, we don't want to do this through upstream anymore. We're going to cut that off. Does upstream keep a copy of all the data?
I mean, there's many licensing issues you could, I mean, that's right. Just one of them.
There's also a bunch of other stuff because upstream did mention things like they can enhance the listing, add more photos, you know, what have you. And I think that's a good idea because a lot of MLS systems just suck and they can't do that. Fine.
And upstream, it's not like they can represent themselves as being every broker in the country. So in that sense, they're just an entity.
They're just an entity. Right? Correct.
With some members. So. Correct. It would be perfectly natural to kind of come up with a licensing agreement for that entity.
But they have to.
For entity, yeah.
Yeah, they have to.
Every MLS has, you know, their standard kind of data licensing agreements, so or syndication agreements or something. Right. So that would be part of the equation for sure.
And I have to assume that there is not an MLS in the country that's going to give them copyright. They'll give them a license. And the big question is going to be things like, does upstream get to keep that? And does upstream get to reuse that? So, for example, the upstream API, is that a permitted usage?
No, I mean, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
So, I mean, that's one of the big next step questions that ends up arising out of something like this.
Yeah, I tell you, I got on that plane leaving and I was a bit optimistic. And then getting the tweets and, you know, texts from people who were attending that thing and then reading the article in a minute, just what a travesty. I'd written this kind of blog post that I didn't publish yet that I'm in the process of rewriting because of that. And it was ending on a kind of a very
upbeat note. Now you're joining me on the dark side, is what you're saying?
Oh, man. I'm a little bit more on your side about their big intentions were always controlling the data, not going to entities like Zillow. Mm-hmm. Then the data management and the cyber terrorism all came later for whatever reasons, right?
Right.
I think they always want intended it for to be upstream and not some sort of bifurcated thing where you could do their input or MLS input. I don't agree there's a reveal there that they always knew that it was never going to be just them, right? I think that's a big disappointment from those guys.
But like Dale said, they're not giving up. They're going to win. There is a question to be asked, what are you winning? What's the contest? And who's winning? Is it NAR that's winning? Is it the upstream brokers?
Nobody's winning right now, and that's the problem.
It's true. Nobody's winning right now, except Zillow, I suppose.
Because not even Zillow. It seems like Zillow, like any company, would like things steady so they can focus on just their core things. Where they get their data, if that's in flux, they don't want that.
Of course. But what I mean by them winning is because, like I said, the entire upstream saga, to me, has really driven the MLSs into the arms of Zillow.
They have the same motives as the MLS do. That's basically keep things as they are, right?
To that extent, I think Dale was correct in saying that people fear change. Now the question is, okay, so after this pivot, does that dynamic now begin to alter? Do the MLSs now feel like, okay, well, we don't need Zillow as much as we thought we did because upstream is no longer a threat. So now we can go back to kind of the way things used to be before this came up. So we shall see. But
we shall see. Well, this
was a double length. We're almost at an hour.
No. I think we've been getting some good feedback. Hey, and just to announce the listeners out there, somebody told me that if you give it a lot of stars, it works better on iTunes. So if you like the podcast, give us a bunch of stars on there. Thank you very much, Rob. This is great. Spend some time with you, man.
Always. I'll talk to you soon.
Late.
All right. Bye, everyone. Bye.